back to Mr. Keene and the case of murder and the missing car. Mr. Keene, the great investigator, and his partner, Mike Clancy, are investigating the murder of Bob Richards, a young bond salesman whose body was found in the trunk of an automobile belonging to wealthy Thomas Fielding. Among the suspects are Fielding's daughter, Anne, and a woman named Elizabeth Armstrong, who may have been with the victim just before the killing. Now, in the Armstrong home, George Armstrong, Elizabeth's husband, discusses the many strange aspects of the case with Mr. Keene.
My wife has fallen asleep, Mr. Keene. I'd rather you wouldn't awaken her for a while. She appears to me to be ill.
Mr. Armstrong, it's imperative that she explain where she was last night when Bob Richards was murdered. Now, you say she had a business appointment with him?
Mr. Keene, perhaps you're being a bit unfair to my wife.
Am I? Why?
Thomas Fielding's daughter, Anne, was engaged to Richards. She ought to know a lot more about this thing than my wife, Elizabeth, does. You said his body was found in Anne's car, didn't you?
In her father's car. She claims she borrowed the car to lend to Richards.
Well, frankly, I don't know very much about... Oh, excuse me, Mr. Keene. Hello?
Is Mr. Keene there? This is his partner, Mike Clancy.
Well, just a second, Mr. Clancy. Mr. Keene, it's your partner.
Oh, thank you. Mike?
Sure, I'm glad I was able to reach you, boss. You don't know what's been going on here at the Fielding house since you left with Mr. Armstrong.
What happened?
Well, right after you left, I went into the garage to make a careful search of the car before the police arrived. 5 minutes later, I looked out through the garage window and saw Fielding and his daughter Anne sneaking out of the house.
Did you follow them, Mike?
I'd say I did. I caught up with them at the airport just as they were about to take a plane for Mexico City. I've got them outside in the waiting room now, guarded by an airport cop.
Good work, Mike. Let's see. The police must be at Fielding's house by now.
Sure, and I guess they are. But there's one thing more, Mr. Keene. In spite of Fielding and his daughter trying to get away, there's another suspect who's due for some questioning.
What do you mean, Mike?
I found a letter in the glove compartment in Fielding's car, and it's mighty interesting.
All right, Mike. Take Mr. Fielding and his daughter Anne to our office. We'll call the police from there after I've seen that letter.
Right, boss. We'll be at the office inside 20 minutes.
Well, Mr. Armstrong, I'm going to make you responsible for your wife, Elizabeth. She must not be permitted to leave this house.
Mr. Keene, I'll still swear to her innocence. She didn't murder Bob Richards.
Innocence or guilt depends on evidence, Mr. Armstrong, and nothing else. And perhaps I'll have that evidence very shortly.
Mr. Keene.
Oh, hello, Mike.
Here's Mr. Fielding, boss, and his daughter, Anne. I brought them here to our office, like you said.
Mr. Fielding, I understand you just tried to leave the country with your daughter.
I have nothing to say, Mr. Keene.
You asked me to investigate this murder case and help your daughter, Anne. And then you deliberately make things more difficult for yourselves. Don't you see what you've done?
Father, I'm not going to let you take the blame for me.
Anne, be quiet.
No, I'm going to tell Mr. Keene the truth.
For your own sake, I suggest you do, Anne.
Mr. Keene, Father tried to get me out of the country when he suddenly believed that I actually did kill my fiancé, Bob Richards.
And what made your father suspect you, Anne, after first believing in your innocence?
I told Father I was violently jealous of Bob. I knew he'd been seeing Elizabeth Armstrong, and I thought she was stealing him away from me.
Go on, Anne.
Bob swore that he was only seeing Elizabeth on business, Mr. Keene, trying to sell her some bonds. But I was never sure.
In other words, Anne, your father thinks you could have murdered your fiancé because you were jealous of him?
No, Mr. Keene. She couldn't have.
I didn't, Father. I loved Bob. But I want Mr. Keene to know the truth no matter what happens.
Now, Anne, you said Bob was trying to sell Elizabeth Armstrong some bonds?
Yes, Mr. Keene. She has a great deal of money left to her by her family. If Bob had managed to sell her a lot of securities, his commission would have given us a chance to get married.
I see. Is there anything else you want to tell me, Anne?
Why, I think I've told you everything now, Mr. Keene. The entire truth.
All right, Mike. Now let's see that letter you mentioned over the phone.
Well, here it is, boss.
You say you found this in the glove compartment of Mr. Fielding's car?
Yes, sir. It's a note sent to Mrs. Elizabeth Armstrong by Bob Richards, arranging a meeting last night.
The night he was murdered, eh? Hmm. He says here in the note that he'll pick her up in a blue sedan on a certain street near the city limits, and that it's very important.
Mr. Keene, My car is a blue sedan.
Yes, I remember, Mr. Fielding.
Then my daughter Anne is in the clear. She took the car to lend it to Bob Richards. And he must have been murdered after he picked up Mrs. Armstrong.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
When you found this note in the glove compartment of the car, was it covered with this oil?
The whole glove compartment was covered with oil, boss. Just look at my coat sleeve. I got myself smeared when I reached inside. And I noticed that there was a small oil can tipped over.
Yes, Mr. Keene. There was a can of oil in the glove compartment. But what's that got to do with the letter and Bob Richards' murder?
Everything, perhaps. Mr. Fielding, will you give me your word of honor that you and your daughter Anne won't try to leave this office until I've contacted you again? If you fail me once more, your daughter may not have a chance to clear herself of murder.
You can trust me this time, Mr. Keene. Now that I've seen the letter, I feel that Anne can prove herself innocent.
All right, Mike, let's go. And make certain you have your gun with you. We may need it within the hour.
Mr. Keene.
Hello, Mr. Armstrong.
Come in.
You remember my partner, Mike Lancy?
Of course.
Glad to see you.
Mr. Armstrong, I have a letter here that was sent to your wife, indicating that she was with Bob Richards at the time he was murdered.
A letter?
Yes.
Then it's true.
What is true, Mr. Armstrong?
I couldn't believe it at first, Mr. Keene. But now I'm convinced. Half an hour ago, my wife, Elizabeth, became delirious. As I started to call for a doctor, she said something, and I realized she thought she was talking to Bob Richards.
What did she say?
She said, "I love you, Bob, and I won't let Anne Fielding have you. I'd rather kill you first."
And that practically amounts to a confession that your wife murdered Bob Richards.
Mr. Keene, I never dreamed that Elizabeth and Richards were in love.
May I see your wife, Mr. Armstrong?
She's lying on the couch inside. Come with me. Elizabeth. Elizabeth, it's George.
Talking to her won't bring her around, Mr. Armstrong. She's been drugged too deeply.
Drugged?
Yes. You mentioned a while ago that you didn't sleep last night worrying about your wife and never even changed your clothes.
What about it, Mr. Keene?
Mike, look at his sleeve.
What the devil are you doing?
Saints preserve us, Mr. Keene, but he's got the same oil marks on his sleeve as I've got on mine.
Yes, Mike, and he got them from the same place, the glove compartment of Mr. Fielding's car.
That's a lie.
Armstrong, you didn't sleep last night because you were busy murdering Bob Richards.
I told you my wife confessed. She murdered Richards.
If she has confessed, it's because she's under the influence of drugs and doesn't know what she's saying.
How do you know that?
One way to tell when a person is drugged is by the size of the pupils in their eyes. And I noticed your wife's the first time I saw her. You drugged her, Armstrong, so that you could confuse her. Make her forget what she did last night, when probably she was here all the time in this house.
Do you think you can prove that, Keene?
I intend to. The way I see it, you intercepted that note sent to your wife and kept the appointment with Bob Richards yourself. Then you made him drive to a secluded spot and you shot him. After that, you put the note in the car's glove compartment as further evidence against your wife. But your sleeve was smeared with oil in the process.
You're very smart, Keene. But not smart enough. Get your hands up, both of you.
That gun won't help you, Armstrong. It only proves conclusively that I'm right.
Sure you're right. But you and your partner here won't live to tell the story. Would you like to know why I killed Bob Richards?
It wasn't jealousy. I'm convinced that your wife's relationship with Richards was innocent.
Even if it hadn't been, do you think I'd have cared? I only married Elizabeth for her money. She has $500,000, Keene, and I'd have had my hands on it already if Richards hadn't tried to interfere.
So that was it. You were plotting to kill your wife for her money when Richards found out and tried to warn her. That's why he wanted to see her alone in the car.
Exactly.
Put the gun down, mister. I'm warning you.
You're warning me, Clancy. That's rich.
Look out, boss. He means business.
I'll say I mean business.
George, no!
Elizabeth!
No! What are you doing with that?
Don't my arm, Elizabeth.
Grab him, Mike.
Are you okay, boss?
The shot went harmlessly into the wall, Mike, when you hit him. But I think we owe our lives to Mrs. Armstrong. If she hadn't come in and grabbed his arm, we would have been finished.
George, my husband...
Mike Clancy knocked him out, Mrs. Armstrong. But he'll be all right.
Yeah, and I'll make sure he don't get frisky again with his handcuffs.
I feel so strange.
You'll be stronger after the effects of the drug wear off, Mrs. Armstrong.
Drug?
Yes. Your husband drugged you. Then tried to have you arrested for the murder of Bob Richards.
I can't believe it. Now I see that maybe my brother was right. Before he died, he warned me. He said George only wanted to marry me for my money.
He not only wanted your money, Mrs. Armstrong, but also your life.
He's coming around, Mr. King.
Get him on his feet, Mike.
All right, now. Off you go.
Let me alone.
It's no use to resist any further, Armstrong. Within an hour, you'll be indicted for murder in the first degree. And you'll start on the road that will lead to payment for your crime in full.
And so Mr. Keene finds the solution to the case of murder and the missing car. Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, is based on the novel Mr. Keene. The radio sequel is originated and produced by Frank and Ann Hummert. Dialogue by Lawrence Klee. Directed by Richard Leonard. Bennett Kilpack plays Mr. Keene. It is on the air every Thursday at this time. Don't miss Mr. Keene next Thursday when the kindly old Tracer turns to the case of the missing countess. This is Larry Elliott saying goodbye. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.